Yeah, welcome. Can I be heard? I don't hear anything, so will anyone say, just to give a sound?
Yes. Super.
Okay, all right, now it's good, okay, I wasn't sure, good. So we're going on in this chapter and enjoy it while the going is good, because the next one will be very heavy. So this is relatively, absorbable, edible, yeah. Good. We have the moment when Bloom chooses his meal, what he wants to have. And I wanted to stop before because it's one of the paragraphs that I always use also when we have to explain the interior monologue. This is very typical of the whole thing. So we hear it first.
Let me see. Sardines on the shelves almost taste them by looking. Sandwich, ham and his descendants, mustard and bread there. Potted meats. What is home without plum trees? Potted meat. Incomplete. What a stupid ad. Under the obituary notices, they stuck it. All up at plum tree. Dignam's potted meat. Cannibal's wood with lemon and rice. White missionary too salty, like pickled pork. Expect the chief consumes the parts of honor. Ought to be tough from exercise. His wives in a row to watch the effect. There was a right royal old nigger who ate or something the somethings of the Reverend Mr. McTrigger, with it an abode of bliss. Lord knows what concoction, calls mouldy tripes, windpipes faked and minced up. Puzzle find the meat, kosher, no meat altogether. Hygiene, that was what they call now. Yom Kippur, fast spring cleaning of inside. Fees and more depended on some fella's digestion. Religions, Christmas stories, slaughter of innocents, eat, drink, and be merry. Then casual wars, full after. It's bandaged. Cheese digests all but itself. Mighty cheese. Have you a cheese sandwich? Yes, sir.
Good. Oh, Bloom, let me see. Also, there's no plain asking him, but he doesn't want to talk. Sardines on the shelves. That's what they would have. Almost taste them by looking. Nothing but then sandwich. That's the whole thing. And then the most obvious thing would be a ham or a cheese sandwich. And both are there. But the next thing, if you look at the sentence, Ham and his descendants, so Ham is a person, one of the sons of Noah was called Ham, the ancestor of the Hamites, of the dark people. Ham and his descendants mustered, you muster an army, you line it up, and bred there. Of course, what you hear is ham, mustard, and bread. So you see, the sentence in itself is a sandwich, overlaying two things. Now, what's happening here? And it's quite cryptic. I was quite pleased when I stumbled long ago over some Victorian plays on words. And that is one that must have been common. It's not the great. And the joke, insofar as the joke goes like this. How come the Bedouins in the desert, where nothing grows, don't starve? That's because of the sand which is there. The sand which is there. Mm. How did the sandwich get there? Well, ham and his descendants, mustard and bread. So you see, at this particular juncture, Bloom recalls, I don't think it's his joke, that must have been called a long time, he calls this. And you can also see that you have a little bit of a translation problem. And translators have gone to immense length to find something that is both human and sounds edible. But of course, ham is the most common thing. Ham and his descendants, mustard and bread there. Potted meats there are. And remember, and Bloom remembers the ad in the fifth chapter, what is home without plum trees, potted meat? Incomplete. With it an abode of bliss. So that is the kind of typical sandwich, advertisement. Incomplete. What a stupid ad. under the obituary notices they stuck it. So in his paper, but not in anyone we have, the ad was put under the obituaries on the first page. All up a plum tree. When you're up a tree, you're in a difficulty. Maybe tigers follow, something like that. And all up a plum tree, is it? And you see how plum tree is a good word for that chapter of food. It is potted meat, but it also contains an accidental plum. All up a plum tree. And then, of course, the next thing is Dignam's potted meat. You realize that in Ham and his descendants, you also have Ham a person and Ham this. It's also a kind of foreshadowing of cannibalism. But here it is, it's quite on the, as you know, the Lestrigonians in Homer, they were cannibals. Now, cannibals would, with lemon and rice, cannibals, in other words, if a nice body comes along, they would serve it as dinner with lemon and rice. Then he thinks, white missionary, too salty, like pickled pork. Now, that is not empirical knowledge. That's just a guess, that kind of thing. Don't forget, at the time, there were lots of jokes about cannibals. They're not quite in vogue now. You wouldn't do it, but there were a lot of them. And then Bloom thinks of what is called sympathetic magic or something. Expect the chief consumes the part of honor. It's everybody's guess what the part of honor is. Most likely the idea behind it, if you eat of the sexual organs, your own potency would increase, that kind of superstition, not uncommon. It ought to be tough from exercise, chief who eats a lot of the best parts. His wives in a row to watch the effect, but I'm not sure how to pronounce that word. It could also be his wives in a row to watch the effect. You see, you have the alternative. And then Bloom, italics, you can use the quotation, Bloom thinks up of a there was a right royal nigger, a limerick, of course. There was something like that, with a particular structure, who ate, or something, the something of the Reverend Mr. MacTrigger, priest in Africa, and the something, obviously Bloom doesn't quite name it, evade it, or doesn't remember it, a MacTrigger. Then, with it, an abode of bliss. And you see it here, takes on a meaning from the context. And then Bloom thinks, Lord knows what concoction. You know all these scandals, what you have in potted meat or in lasagna a few years ago and things like that. Interestingly enough, the word that Bloom does not spell out, the something of, happens to be in concoction. And he imagines it, calls moldy tripes, windpipes, faked and minced up all the things you throw away, meat scandals and things like that. Puzzle, find the meat. Then kosher. There are Jewish laws of food they observe very carefully. No meat and milk together. So this is, as you know, they're separated quite strictly. Hygiene, that was what they call now. So I think this religious thing may have some hygienic background. Yom Kippur fast, spring cleaning of inside. There is the Yom Kippur fast. And you realize fasting, often in religions or for slimming, fasting is an intentional abstention from eating, whereas hunger, famine is unintentional. Yom Kippur is a kind of spring cleaning of insight. Now, Yom Kippur is not in the spring, it's in the autumn. And then Bloom, peace and war depend on some fellow's digestion. You know, some autocrat in a bad mood might start a war. We all wonder what happens in the next week. Some idiot might start something. Religions, they have their relations to food, their prescriptions, what you don't eat, what you generally eat. No meat on Fridays, for example, things like that. Religions. Christmas, turkeys, and geese. It's customary to have turkeys and geese for Christmas. But then Bloom thinks slaughter of innocents. Well, Christmas is a great feast of joy, but if you happen to be a turkey or a goose, you're not looking forward to it because it's slaughter of innocents. But you also know that slaughter of innocents is a day in the church calendar around Christmas, a bit afterwards, because Herod was slaughtering the firstborn. That is why the whole Christmas story started off. So slaughter of innocents is both Bloom's understanding of the poor birds who will be slaughtered, but also it ties in with the slaughter of the innocents. In German, that's Fest der unschuldigen Kinder. Hairs bandaged. Christmas isn't always peace. They often have fights and things like that. And then the hairs are bandaged injuries. And then Bloom thinks of something, I don't know where he got it from, but I've seen it. It was a cheese digests all. No, sorry, I slipped. Eat, drink, and be merry. That is from the Bible, from Ecclesiastes. So as long as you can, eat, drink, and be merry. But then, casual wards in hospitals fall after because people hit each other. On the head and their casualties, hairs bandaged. And then Bloom has cheese digests all but itself. That was said, and very often you have cheese as a last course. And then, and in most of your copies, you have the wrong spelling. So I invite you to correct it. Mighty should be spelt M-I-T-Y. I want to put it on the chat, but you can see it on the chat, Mighty, because there is such a thing as the cheese mite, the Käse Milbe. That is some bacterium in the cheese. And so it's mighty cheese. So cheese can be mighty, but of course we also hear mighty, powerful cheese, maybe mighty Jesus. And there was in fact an advertisement, mighty cheese, but Joyce spelled it mighty, M-I-T, and you see, have your cheese sandwich, yes, and then he's ordering a gorgonzola, where you can see the effect of the mites. So that is how Joyce makes Bloom choose a meal, and you see how variant it is, how many places, you have customs, you have cannibalism, you have religions, you have hygienic messages, you have what you eat or not eat on certain days and all of that. All in one thing. It shows very well how the interior monologue works. What is not easy is to translate it. Try, have a go at Ham and his descendants, and then you can see. Have your cheese sandwich? Yes, sir. I think we stopped here, or did?
Yeah.
Did you go on? Life? Like a few olives, too, if you had them. Italian, I prefer. Good glass of Burgundy. Now you realize what kind of Irishman is that instead of the Guinness and the sandwich? He has a glass of Burgundy and it comes to Gordon. A nice salad, lubricate. A nice salad, cool as a cucumber. Tom Kernan can dress, you heard him before. Puts gusto into it. Pure olive oil. Really served me that cutlet with a sprig of parsley. Take one Spanish onion. And don't forget all these things, olives, onions, Spanish, they were rare. You couldn't just have them any place. God made the food, the devil, the cooks. That's based on God made the country, man, the town. And here's God made the food, devil, the cooks. Then there's such a thing as deviled crab when you throw them in water. Good. But now I think we go on.
Yes, sir. I give you olives too if they have them. Italian, I prefer. Good glass of burgundy. Salad cool as a cucumber. Tom Kernan can dress, puts gusto into it. Pure olive oil. Millie served me that cutlet with a sprinkle. Take one Spanish onion. God made food. The devil the cooks. Devil crab. Wife, well? Quite well, thanks. A cheese sandwich then. Gorgonzola, have you? Yes, sir. Nosey Flynn sipped his grog. Doing any singing those times? Look at his mouth. Could whistle in his own ear. Flap ears to match. Music. Knows as much about it as my coachman. Still better tell him. Does no harm. Free ad. She's engaged for a big tour, end of this month. You may have heard, perhaps. Not...
Geht's weiter?
Oh, that's the style. Who's getting it up? The curate served. How much is that? 70, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bloom cut his sandwich into slender strips. Mr. McTrigger, easier than the dreamy, creamy stuff. His 500 wives had the time of their lives. Mustard, sir. Thank you. He studded onto each lifted strip yellow blobs. Their lives. I have it. It grew bigger and bigger and bigger.
Good. Now, Nosey Flynn, who is, has both an unpleasant nose and is nosy curious. Wife, well, the usual thing, quite well, thanks. A cheese sandwich and gorgonzola, have you? Now, I'm always surprised that the Dublin pulp in 1904 would have gorgonzola sandwiches. That's different. By the way, nobody's done much with the word gorgonzola. It easily splits into a Greek myth, Gorgon, and the French writer, Zola. But could be coincidence. Yes, sir. Nosey Flynn sipped his grog. And the 11, doing any singing these times? Look at his mouth. He doesn't want to talk. Good whistling zone here. Flap ears to match. Music. Knows as much about it as my coachman. Still, better tell him. There's no harm. Free art. She's engaged for a big tour end of this month. You may have thought, perhaps. So you see, he's rather vague about it because it's the one topic he doesn't want to talk about. Though, that's the style. Then, who is getting it up? Clearly it means who is organizing it. But you can probably also hear a faint note getting it up, erotic. Probably not as strong then as it may be now. And of course, we know he was getting it up. And Bloom knows, but Bloom doesn't say it. The curate served. In these pubs, there were only men, and the one who hands out the drink is the curate. The curate is normally in church. But in Dublin at the time, they called that person the curate, which is very good because the priest in church and the curate in the pub, they serve spiritual things. Curate, so it plays into Joyce's hands. How much is that? Sevenpence, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bloom cut his sandwich into slender strips. So he doesn't yet have to answer. To notifully. Mr. McTrigger, easier than the dreamy, creamy stuff. Remember the aesthetic poet, the dreamy, creamy stuff? His 500 wives had the time of their lives. These are the limerick, the two lines before the last one. Mustard, sir, thank you. He studied under each lifted strip, yellow blobs. Their lives. I have it. it grew bigger and bigger and bigger. So the limerick is, there was an old around world old nigger who had something or something around Mr. McTrigger. His 500 wives had the time of their lives. It grew bigger and bigger and bigger. That's also true of the book, which gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So we have here a slightly an erotic limerick, maybe a known one. I don't think Bloom makes it up. Yeah, and then...
Getting it up, he said. Well, it's like a company idea. You see, part shares and part profits. I know, I remember, Nosey Flynn said, putting his hand in his pocket to scratch his groin. Who is this was telling me? Isn't Blazes Boiling mixed up in it? A warm shock of air, heat of mustard, hawked on Mr. Broom's heart. He raised his eyes and met the stare of a bilious clock. 2. Pop clock 5 minutes fast. Time going on, hands moving. 2. Not yet. His midriff yearned then upward, sank within him, yearned more longly, longingly. Wine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, getting it up, he said. Again, he could just say the name, but he doesn't. Well, it's like a company idea, you see. Part shares and part profits. He talks about it in general, not about the man who organizes it. I remember, as a friend said, putting his hand on his pocket to scratch his groin. Well, that's for telling me, isn't Blazes Boiling mixed up in it? And here the name that Bloom wants to avoid comes up. And you can see his shock is described not psychologically, but physiologically. When you eat mustard, you know what can happen. A warm shock of air, heat of mustard, hunched on Mr. Bloom's heart. So it's the effect of mustard, the body. He raised his eyes and met the stare of a bilious clock. Bilious clock, bad tempered. The bile is something, of course, in our system. 2, meaning 2 o'clock. Pub clocks 5 minutes fast. Why are pub clocks 5 minutes fast? Because when there's closing time at 11, everybody has to go out. And it takes a hell of a job to get them out. So the clocks are usually a bit fast, so there's time. That has to do with Irish drinking habits. Hands moving. He means, of course, the hands of the clock. But remember, he also thought of Molly and Boylan walking in front with their hands touching. 2. Not yet, because... Boylan must have said the appointment is later. His midriff yearned and then upward sank within him, yearned more longingly, longingly. Wine. He smell-sipped the cordial juice and, beating his throat strongly to speed it, set his wine glass delicately down, so he's drinking. Yes, he said. He is the organizer in point of fact. So the name has come out. Good.
He smelled sipped the cordial juice, and bidding his throat strongly to speed it, set his wine glass delicately down. Yes, he said. He's the organizer in point of fact. No fear, no brains. Nosey Flynn snuffled and scratched, Flea having a good square meal. He had a good slice of luck, Jack Mooney was telling me, over that boxing match Milo Keogh won against the soldier in the Portobello barracks. By God, he had that little kipper down in the County Carlow, he was telling me. Took 2 drops to come down into his glass. No, snuffled it up. For near a month, man, before it came off. Sucking duck eggs, by God, till further orders. Keep him off the booze, see? Oh, by God, Blazes is a hairy chap.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, we had it already, smell sipped and so on. No fear, no brains, Bloom thinks. It's not much damage if he knows. Nosey Flynn snuffled and scratched. Flea, having a good square meal, he's scratching his groins. He had a good slice of luck. Boylan had it. Jack Mooney was telling me, over that boxing match, Mayakyo won against a shoulder portobello book. So Boylan is organizing also sports events. There was a boxing match that he did, and it's between an Irishman, Mayakyo, and a soldier in the Portobello barracks, the military barracks. So it was a boxing match of an Irishman against an Englishman. It'll come up later. By God, he had a little kipper down in the County Carlo, he was telling me. So he took the Irishman away, County Carlo. And then hope that Dietrich doesn't come into his glass. No, it's lovely. The nosy flame isn't too appetizing a person. For near a month, man, before he came off, sucking duck eggs, by God, till further orders. Sucking eggs, that's good. Keep him off the booze. He took him out of circulation so he couldn't drink. See? Oh, by God, Blazes is a hairy chap. Now we have somebody new coming.
Davy Byrne came forward from behind bar in tuck-stitched shirt sleeves, cleaning his lips with two wipes of his napkin. Herring's blush. Smile upon each feature plays with such and such replete. Too much fat on the parsnips. And here's himself and pepper on him, Nosey Flynn said. Can you give us a good one for the Gold Cup? I'm off that, Mr. Flynn, Davy Byrne answered. I never put anything on a horse. You're right there, Nosey Flynn said. Mr. Bloom ate his strips of sandwich, fresh, clean bread, with relish of disgust, pungent mustard, the feety savour of green cheese. Sips of his wine soothed his palate. Not Logwood, that. Tastes fuller this weather, with the chill off. Nice quiet bar. Nice piece of wood in that counter. Nicely planed, like the way it curves there. I wouldn't do anything at all in that line, Davy Byrne said. It ruined many a man the same horses. Vintner sweepstake, license for the sale of beer, wine, and spirits for consumption on the premises. Heads I win, tails you lose. True for you, Nosey Flynn said. Unless you're in the know, there's no straight sport going now. Lenehan gets some good ones. He's given Sceptre today. Zinfandel's the favourite. Lord Howard de Walden's won at Epsom. Marnie Cannon is riding him. I could have got 7-1 against St. Amant a fortnight before. That's so, Davy Byrne said. He went towards the window, and taking up the petty cash book, scanned its pages. I could fade, Nosey Flynn said, snuffling. That was a rare bit of horse flesh. St. Frusquin was her sire. She won in a thunderstorm. Rothschild's filly with Wadden in her ears, blue jacket and yellow cap. Bad luck to Big Ben Dollard and his John O'Gaunt. He put me off it. Aye. He drank resignedly from his tumbler, running his fingers down the flutes. Aye, he said, sighing.
Good. Yeah, now we have Davy Byrne, the owner of the pub, came forward from his hind bar in tuck-stitched shirt sleeves, cleaning his lips with two wipes of napkin. Obviously, he has just eaten. Herring's blush. I don't know what Herring's blush is. Probably a blush had in red in the face. Who smile upon each feature plays with such and such repeat. That is a distortion of a line from an opera. With such and such repeat, the original context I don't have at hand, but replete in this context means full of eating. You are replete, full of having eaten something. So it's a twisted quotation. Too much fat on the parsnips. Fat on the parsnips is also a phrase. And here's himself and pepper on him, Nosey Flynn said. Can you give us a good one for the Gold Cup? Most of the characters are interested in the horse race, not Bloom. I'm off that, Mr. Flynn, David Hunter. I never put anything on a horse. You're right there, Nosey Flynn said. Bloom ate his strips of sandwich, fresh, clean bread, with relish of disgust. That's a nice, with a gorgonzola sandwich. Pungent mustard, the feety savour of green cheese. Sips of his wine soothe his palate. Not Logwood, that, nothing bitter. Tastes fuller, rather, with a chill off. Nice quiet bar. Nice piece of wood in that counter. Nicely planed. Like the way it curves here. Bloom is probably not sitting, but standing near the bar. I won't do anything, or at that line, if you've ever said, it ruined many a man the same horses. This is very, very Anglo-Irish. It's the way they speak. And you may realize, or you can guess, that this is very much the kind of style, the kind of language that they would use in a pub. Joyce had an excellent ear for that. It ruined many a man the same horses. Witness sweepstake. Sweepstakes are also bets. Simply. License for the sale of beer, wine and spirits for consumption of the premises. That's the official legal designation of a pub. They are licensed to sell beer, wine and spirits for consumption of the premise. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose. Meaning, you call it the win-win situation for the pub owner. Through for you, notably, instead. And that's her in the know. There's no straight sport going now. Lenehan, as we heard that, gets some good ones. He's an expert. He's giving Scepter today. He's already said Scepter is the favourite. There were four horses in the race, and a lot will come up later. Zinfandel's the favourite. That was another horse. It was named after Zinfandel, which is also a wine. Howard the one at Epsom. Morny Cannon is riding him. You see, they know the owner, they know the jockey. That kind of inside knowledge. I could have got 7-1 against the man a fortnight before. That's all. Okay. He went toward the window and taking up the petty cash book, scanned its pages. He's not interested. Good faith. Noted Flint had snuffling. That was a rare bit of horse flesh. Saint Trusting was her sire. The sire is the horse, the male horse that sired her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She won in a thunderstorm. Rothschild's filly. It's of course rich people like Rothschild or Brewers who can afford to have horses. Filly, with wadding in their ears. Blue jacket and yellow cap. The jockeys have colourful dresses. Bad luck to Big Dan and his John O'Gaunt. Obviously, a bet where he was wrong. He put me off at eye. He went, "Aye," he said, sighing.
Mr. Bloom, champing, standing, looked upon his sigh. Nosy numbskull. Will I tell him that horse Lenehan? He knows already. Better let him forget. Go and lose more, fooling his money. Dewdrop coming down again. Cold knows he'd have kissing a woman. Still, they might like. Prickly beards they like. Dogs, cold noses. Old Mrs. Reardon with the rumbling stomach Skye Terrier in the City Arms Hotel. Molly fondling him in her lap. Oh, the big doggy bowsy wowsy wowsy. Wine-soaked and softened rolled pith of bread, mustard, a moment, orcish cheese. Nice wine it is. Taste it better because I'm not thirsty. Bath, of course, does that. Just a bite or two. Then about 6 o'clock I can... Six. Time will be gone then. She...
No. Mr. Bloom, champing, standing, looked upon his sigh. Nosy numbskull, not too bright. Will I tell him that horse Lenehan gave out Scepter is the favourite? He knows already. Better let him forget. Go and lose money. Fool on his money. And then Dewdrop come down again his nose. Prickly beards stay like women. Dogs, cold noses. Dogs, of course, have cold noses. Old Mrs. Reardon with a rumbling stomach Sky Terror in the City Arms Hotel. We know that the Blooms were living for a time in the City Arms Hotel near the cattle market. And there was also, as we learn now, a Mrs. Reardon there with a terrier, Sky Terrier in the City Arms. Now, I don't think we've heard of Mrs. Reardon except when you've read the portrait of the artist, where Mrs. Reardon was an old Catholic pious woman who stayed with the Dedaluses, and here she turns up. Joyce usually saves and revives his characters and brings them up again. It's Molly fondling him on her lap, the dog. Oh, the big doggy bouncy mouses. And now we have to fight. Bloom enjoys his meat. Wine soaked and softened, rolled pith of bread, mustard a moment, mawkish cheese. It's not easy to express taste impressions into words. Nice wine it is. Tasted better because I'm not thirsty. Bath, of course, does that. Just a bite or two. Then about 6 o'clock, he can eat again. Time will be gone then. I don't think this simply means the time will be gone then. Of course it will be gone. I think the sentence is, by that time, he will be gone then. Boylan visiting Molly. That's, I think, how the sentence is. She. And now we have a long passage when Bloom thinks about food. And we run it, perhaps not the whole. Oh, yeah, we do the whole. It's a long one. Yeah.
Wildfire of wine kindled his veins. I wanted that badly. Felt so off colour. His eyes, unhungrily, saw shelves of tins, sardines, gaudy lobster's claws, all the odd things people pick up for food. Off trees, snails out of the ground, the Frenchies, out of the sea, with bait on a hook. Silly fish learned nothing in 1,000 years. If you didn't know, risky putting anything into your mouth. Poisonous berries, Johnny Magories. Roundness you think good. Gaudy colour warns you off. One fella told another and so on. Try it on the dog first, led on by the smell or the look. Tempting fruit, ice cones, cream, instinct. Orange groves, for instance, need artificial irrigation. Leibtreustrasse. Yes, but what about oysters? Unsightly, like a clot of phlegm. Filthy shells. Devil to open them to. Who found them out? Garbage sewage they feed on. Fizz and Red Bank oysters. Effect on the sexual. Aphrodis. He was in the Red Bank this morning. Was he oyster, old fish at table? Perhaps he young flesh in bed? No. June has no oysters. But there are people like tainted game, choked hair, catcher, he's eating eggs 50 years old, blue and green again. Dinner of 30 courses, each dish harmless, might mix inside. Idea for a poison mystery. That Archduke Leopold, was it? No, yes. Or was it Otto, one of those Habsburgs? Or who was it used to eat the scruff of his own head? Cheapest lunch in town. Of course, aristocrats. Then the others copy, to be in the fashion. Millie, too. Rock oil and flour. Raw pastry, I like myself. Half the catch of oyster they throw back into the sea to keep up the price. Cheap. No one would buy. Caviar, do the grand. Hock in green glasses. Swell, blowout. Lady this. Powdered bosom pearls. The elite. Creme de la creme. They want special dishes to pretend they're hermit with a platter of pulse, keep down the stings of the flesh. Know me, come eat with me. Sturgeon. High share of coffee, the butcher. Write 2 venisons of the forest from his ex. Send him back the half of a cow. Spread I saw down in the master of the rolls kitchen area. White-hatted chef like a rabbi. Combustible duck. Curly cabbage a la Duchesse de Parme. Just as well to write it on the bill of fare so you can know what you've eaten. Too many drugs spoil the broth. I know it myself. Dosing it with Edward's desiccated soup. Geese stuffed silly for them. Lobsters boiled alive. Do partake some ptarmigan. Wouldn't mind being a waiter in a swell hotel. Tips. Evening dress. Half-naked ladies. May I tempt you to a little more filleted lemon sole, Miss Dubedat? Yes, Dubedat, and she did be that. Huguenot name, I expect that. And Miss Dubedat lived in Killiney, I remember. Du de la French. Still, it's the same fish, perhaps. Old Mickey Hanlon of Moore Street ripped the guts out of making money hand over fist, finger in fish's gills. Can't write his name on a check. Think he was pinned to the landscape with his mouth twisted. Michael H. Ignorant as a kish of brogues, worth £50,000.
Good. Yeah. Mild fire of wine kindled his veins. I wanted that badly. Felt so off color. His eyes unhungrily saw. All your things people pick up for food. Pin, off tree, like the flower friend, out of the sea, with bait on a hook. Silly fish learn nothing in a thousand years. If you did know, risky putting anything into your mouth. Poisonous berries. Some berries are poisonous and you shouldn't eat. Johnny Magoris, that's a name for some poisonous berries. Roundness, you think good. Gaudy color warns you off. He wonders how taste came about. Or so one fellow told another and so on. Tried on the dog first. Led on to the smell or the look. Tempting fruit. The God of Eden. Ice cones. Cream. Instincts. Orange groves, for instance, need artificial irrigation. Bleibtreustrasse. You remember that prospectus he picked up to buy land in Palestine, and you could grow oranges and buy them. And the address of the company is in Bleibtreustrasse, Berlin. Yes, but what about oysters? Unsightly, like a clot of phlegm. Oysters really don't look too great. Filthy shells. Devil to open them. Who found them out? Garbage, sewage they feed on. Fizz and Red Bank oysters. Fizz, of course, oysters is something expensive. Fizz is champagne or sparkling wine. And Red Bank oysters. There are some oysters are taken from the Red Bank in the west of Ireland. Effect on the sexual. You know, there is this myth or whatever that oysters work as an aphrodisiac. Aphrodis, says. He, what in the Red Bank this morning, he, Boylan, they saw on the way to the funeral in the sixth chapter outside of the Red Bank restaurant. Of course, we didn't notice the name, but it is. It is. So it's a restaurant that's good for seafood. I was in there long ago. Now it's a bookshop. Then what if Boylan had a lot of oysters? Was he oyster, old fish at table, perhaps you young flesh in bed? So even older men, when they eat oysters, may have maybe young flesh. Again, that is the myth, the rumor and things like that. No, June has no oysters. You know, the rule is you don't eat oysters after April, then May, June, July, until September. So the months that have no R, you don't generally eat oysters, so it's not all that bad, no. But there are people like tainted game, something wrong with game. Jugged hare, I think that's how you prepare it. First catch your hare. Chinese eating eggs, 50 years old, blue and green again. Dinner of 30 courses. Each dish harmless might mix inside. Idea for a poison mystery. Remember, Blue Mori thinks he could write a murder story, and that would be a plot when you have two courses that don't go together are dangerous. And then the Archduke Leopold was it. In the Habsburg, you have the Erzherzog. So Leopold, was it? Yes. Or was it Otto, one of these Habsburgs? Or was it used to eat the scruff of his own head? Must have been some rumors of that. Cheapest lunch in town. Of course, aristocrats. They eat all kinds of funny things. Then the others copy to be in the fashion. mainly two, rock oil and flour I likes. Raw pastry I like myself. Half the catch of oysters they throw back in the sea to keep up the price. Cheap, no one would buy. If it were cheap, you wouldn't. Caviar, one of the expensive things. Do the grand. Hock in green glasses. Hock is a sort of wine. Swell, blow out, the swell affair, an important thing. Lady this, powdered bosom, pearls. So at an elegant meal, a dinner, you would have ladies with powdered bosoms with pearls on them. The elite, crème de la crème. They want special dishes to pretend they're something better. Hermit is a platter of pulse. Keep down the stings of your flesh. The hermits, priests, who generally fast, with a platter of pulse. Pulse is peas and lentils and things like that. It's the Hülsenfrüchte, is pulse. Oddly enough, they want to keep the pulse, the blood pulse go down. To keep down the stings of the flesh. So what the various people in society eat. Know me, come eat with me. Royal sturgeon. I think it's a fish. And certain game is only reserved for the upper classes. I think belongs to the king. High Sheriff Coffee, the butcher, right to venison, the forage from His Excellency. Ordinary people are not allowed to hunt all kinds of animals. Some in our royal reserve. Send him back the half of a cow. Spread, I saw down in the Master of the Rolls kitchen area. The Master of the Rolls is a title in the city administration. Rolls, of course, is also something to eat, but that's not what it means here. White-hatted chef, like a rabbi, he looks like. Combustible duck that you flame. Curly cabbage, à la Duchesse de Parme. French is always good. Just as well to write it on the bill of fare so you can know what you've eaten. Too many drugs spoil the broth. I know it myself. Dosing it with Edward's desiccated soup. That was a very, very common type of thing that you had. Cheap, of course. Geese stuffed silly for them. You know the geese you stuff because of the livers and things like that. Lobsters boiled alive. Again, Bloom, feeling for the animals. And then the next sentence is interesting. How do you pronounce it? I don't know. And you see what happens here. Ptarmigan is a bird. Schneehuhn in German. And it's an expensive kind of thing. I don't know when you had ptarmigan the last time. Now the point is that ptarmigan, you don't pronounce the P. It was a fish, ptarmigan, they put the P because in Greek, P and T means flying, like helicopter. So the P is accidentally silent, it's not pronounced. And so you can transfer this ptarmigan to take. So that's something. It's really a comment on English spelling. And I haven't seen any translation that can do anything with that. And you can imagine. I say a comment on English spelling. Wouldn't mind being a waiter in a swell hotel. Tips, evening dress, half-naked lady. May I tempt you to the Lord Philip of Lemon Soul, Miss Dubidat? It's a funny name. Filleted, a fillet or lemon sole, but the fillet is also you wear on your dress. You be that? Yes, do be that, and she did be that. So this is a kind of Irish making phonetic fun of a strange name. Huguenot name, I expect that. And Dubedat is, in fact, a Huguenot name. Miss Dubedat lived in Killiney, I remember. And I remember I was quite happy when in the address book I could find Miss Dubedat in Killiney. In the meantime, there's a book about the Dubedat family in Ulysses. Then, du, de la, French. Still, it's the same fish. Perhaps old Mickey Hanlon of Moore Street. Moore Street is the market of Dublin. That's where you hear the most ordinary, flat Dublin English. Still, it's the same fish. But old Mickey Hanlon of Moore Street ripped the guts out of making money, hand over fist, fingering fish's gills. Can't write his name on a check. Think he was painting the landscape with his mouth twisted. So this is not aristocracy. This is a very common person who was successful selling fish, and he can't spell his own name. So it's the various layers of society. Moikley Aichahak. He's as ignorant as a kish of brogues. Kish of brogues is a basket full of Irish shoes. Ignorant as a fish. Worth £50,000. Worth £50,000 means he makes £50,000 a month, a year. Worth £50,000. It's very interesting. I once read when there was a jubilee of Joyce, and some Marxist paper said Joyce didn't have a great respect for human beings. Against the charge of being up to rich, he said, nobody is worth more than £50. And they thought it was the estimation of the human life. It means nobody in my book, in Ulysses, makes more than £50 and not 50,000 and another man. So much for that. So you see, Joyce makes Bloom go through food in quite interesting ways. Now we come to a memory. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two flies buzzed, stung. Glowing wine on his palate lingered, swallowed, crushing in the wine press grapes of Burgundy. Thun's heat it is. Seems touch memory. Touched, his sense moistened, remembered. Hidden under wild ferns on Hoth. Sleeping sky. No sound. Sky. The bay purple by the lion's head. Green by Drumleck. Yellow-green towards Sutton. Fields of undersea. The lion's faint brown in grass. Buried cities. Pillowed on my coat, she had her hair. Earwigs and the heather scrub. My hand under her nape. You'll toss me all. Oh, wonder. Cool, soft with ointments, her hand touched me, caressed, her eyes upon me, did not turn away. Ravished over her I lay, full lips, full open, kissed her mouth, yum. Softly she gave me in my mouth the seed cake, warm and chewed. Mawkish pulp her mouth had mumbled, sweet and sour, with spittle, joy. I ate it, joy, young life, her lips that gave me. Pouting, soft, warm, sticky gum jelly lips. Flowers her eyes were. Take me. Willing eyes. Pebbles fell. She lay still. A goat. No one. High on Ben Hoth, rhododendrons, a nanny goat walking sure-footed, dropping currants. Screened under ferns, she laughed, warm folded. Wildly I lay on her, kissed her, eyes, her lips, her stretched neck, beating. Full in her blouse of nun's veiling, fat nipples upright, hot, I tongued her, she kissed me, I was kissed, all yielding, she tossed my hair, kissed, she kissed me.
Yeah. Okay. Then, stuck on the pane, two flies buzzed, stuck, so he sees two flies. And it now comes Bloom's best memory ever, when long ago they were on top of Hoth, the hill. Now, glowing wine on his palate lingered, swallowed. You realize there's something similar to Proust, whose great novel begins with tasting a Madeleine, and that brings back all kinds of memories, because the senses have their memories. Crushing in the wine press grapes of Burgundy. Burgundy wine press, something like that. Sun's heat it is. Seems to a secret touch telling me memory. Touched, his sense moistened, remembered. See, that's quite an interesting sentence. Huh? It's not really grammatical, but of course we know the interior monologue doesn't have to obey the laws of syntax. Hidden on the wild fern on Hoth. Hoth is the hill that you see from the Bay of Dublin in the east, quite visible on the beach. Below us, bay, sleeping sky. No sound. The sky. The bay, purple by the lion's head. Green by Thumlek. Yellow-green towards Sutton. When you look down on the sea, the colour, of course, changes. Fields of underseas. The lines faint crown in the grass. Buried cities. There are all kinds of myths and legends about cities that are underwater that were buried once. A lot of them in Ireland. Pillowed, well, now you have the memory. Pillowed on my coat, she had her hair, earwigs in the heather, scrubbed my hand under her nape. You tossed me all. So they were lying among the rhododendrons. Oh, wonder. Cooled soft with ointments, her hand touched me, caressed. Her eyes upon me did not turn away. Ravished over her, I lay. Full lips, full open, kissed her mouth. Yum. And then the next sentence is the combination of eroticism and food. Here, softly she gave in my mouth the seed cake, warm and chewed. That's some practice that not everybody thinks is very sexy, but there it is. It's, of course, the combination of food and eroticism. Not mawkish pulp, her mouth had mumbled sweet and sour with spittle. Joy, I ate it, joy. Young life, her lips that gave me pouting. Pouting, then they bring the lips forward. Soft, warm, sticky, gum, jelly lips. Flowers her eyes were. Take me, willing eyes. Pebbles fell. Somebody coming. She lay still. A goat. No one, just a goat. High on Ben Hoth, rhododendrons. A nanny goat walking, sure-footed, dropping currants. You know, currants, dry raisins, can look like whatever the goats drop. Screened under the fern, she laughed, warm folded. While I lay on her, kissed her eyes, her lips, stretched, her stretched neck beating, woman's breast full in her blouse of nun's veiling, fat nipples upright, hopped I tongued her. She kissed me. I was kissed. All yielding, she tossed my hair. Kissed, she kissed me. Me and me now. Stuck the fly's bust. So you see, Bloom remembers, and that's his best memory ever, when they were, for privacy, on top of Hoth, among the rhododendrons, which is quite beautiful, where you could be alone. And that was obviously a seduction scene that is fondly remembered by Bloom. And he thinks of this 16 years ago and his situation now, when the woman probably did something in the seduction act, now has an appointment with another man. And me now. And then she sandwiched between them, the stuck on the bed, two flies, bust, We don't know what the flies are doing, but they might be doing something that bloom can no longer do now and is no longer do. So it is neatly sandwiched between things. The great ecstatic moment and then the come down. Me now, stuck, the flies bust. Good.
Stuck, the flies buzzed. His downcast eyes follow the silent veining of the oaken slab. Beauty. It curves. Curves our beauty. Papely goddesses, Venus, Juno. Curves the world admires. Can see them, library museum, standing in the round hall, naked goddesses. Aids to digestion. They don't care what man looks, all to see. Never speaking, I mean to say, to fellas like Flynn. Suppose she did Pygmalion and Galatea. What would she say first? Mortal, put you in your proper place. Having nectar at mess with gods, golden dishes, all ambrosial. Not like a tanner lunch we have. Boiled mutton, carrots and turnips, bottle of allsop. Nectar. Imagine it. Drinking electricity. God's food. Lovely forms of woman. Sculpt Junonian. Immortal lovely. And we, stuffing food in one hole and out behind. Food, child, blood, dung, earth, food. Have to feed it like stoking an engine. They have no... Never looked. I looked then. Keeper won't see. Band down, let something fall. See if she... Dribbling, a quiet message from his bladder. Came to go, to do, not to do, there to do. A man and ready, he drained his glass to the lees and walked. To men, too, they gave themselves. Manly conscious, lay with men lovers. A youth enjoyed her to the yard.
Now his downcast eyes, and you realize when your eyes are downcast, you look down, but downcast means also when you're depressive or sad. Look, fellows, follow the silent veining of the oaken slab. The curves in wood. Beauty, it curves. Curves are beauty. He's just been thinking of Morris curves. Shapely goddesses. Venus, Juno. Curves the world admires. And of course, curves and nakedness you could only see in Greek art and things like that. Otherwise, in practice, it didn't occur. So in museums, that's classic. The world admires. Can see the library museum standing in the round hall, naked goddesses. And there were statues of goddesses, as, by the way, they were in the university Lichthof. When I was a student, the Lichthof had Greek statues. Now they're all on the wall. Anyway, so goddesses. Naked goddesses in bloom, aids to digestion. They don't care what man looks, all to see. You could look at them, all to see. Never speaking. I mean, to say to fellows like Flynn. Suppose she did Pygmalion Galatea. You may remember the Greek myth. Galatea was a beautiful goddess. Gala, milk. You can see what he means. And Pygmalion was a sculptor who made a sculpture of her, and was so she was so beautiful that he fell in love with her, and he asked Venus to change her, and she was changed into a real being. So it became a love story, Pygmalion and Galatea. What would she say first? Mortal. And that is exactly what you find in the Odyssey when the gods, Pallas Athena does it quite often, speak to humans. They always say, you are mortal, but we are eternal. They are very stand-upish, a class distinction. So that's what is mortal. Put you in a proper place. Quaffing nectar at mess with God, golden dishes, all ambrosial. And you know that the Greek gods, still in the Olymp, they don't eat substantial food. They quaff nectar and they eat ambrosia, which means immortal. And that is not substantial food. That is basically imaginary food or something like that. Not like the tunnel lunch. We have boiled mutton, carrots, bottle of old soap. That's different from Nectar and Ambrosia. Nectar, immaculate drinking electricity, God's food. Electricity was the one thing around that was obviously effective, but you didn't see it. You don't see electricity, and yet this is something a little bit like what the gods eat. Lovely forms of woman, all sculpted Junonian, immortal lovely, and then by contrast, and we stuffing fruit in one hole and out behind. Fruit, child, blood, dung, earth, fruit. Have to feed it like stoking an engine. They have no. They realize we have to eat and do something else, which this book is one of the first to put on stage. But these immaterial things, they don't need a toilet. And so the statues, you think, they have no, there is no need for something to let the food out when there is no food to get out. They have no, never looked. I look today. So he thinks, I might look. What he wants to look is, are Greek statues anatomically complete? Do they indicate things like that that are never talked about? And of course, they would be not. But it shows that Bloom's interest, A, in is art realistic, and B, or maybe that is the first thing, is an erotic as well as an anatomical interest. So he wants to look at the backside of goddesses. Never looked. Keeper won't see. Now he quite cleverly thinks, if you want to take a look at the goddess from underneath, you have to go pretty low. And how do you do that? Well, bend down, pretend you have let something fall. Then you have the right angle and the right perspectives. Bend down, something fall, if she. So you can see this is something very Bloomian. And then, dribbling a quiet message from his bladder, came to go, to do, not to do, where to do. So his body sent him a message. He's been thinking about it, his bladder, to go, to do what? A man and ready, he drained his glass to the lees and walked. To men, too, they gave themselves Greek goddesses. Sometimes at the fair is man, manly conscious. He gave manly conscious. Maybe man lovers, a youth enjoyed her, to the yard. So he goes out to the yard, which is the toilet, which was probably very, very primitive.
No. When the sound of his boots had ceased, Davy Byrne said from his book, "What is this he is? Isn't he in the insurance line? He sounded that long ago," Nosey Flynn said. "He does canvassing for the Freeman. I know him well to see," Davy Byrne said. "Is he in trouble?" "Trouble?" Nosey Flynn said. "Not that I heard of. Why?" "I noticed he was in mourning." "Was he?" Nosey Flynn said. "So he was, Faith. I asked him how was all his home. You're right, by God. So he was." "I never broached the subject," Davy Byrne said humanely. "If I see a gentleman is in trouble that way, it only brings it up fresh in their minds." "It's not the wife, anyhow," Nosey Flynn said. "I met him the day before yesterday, and he coming out of that Irish farm dairy John Wise Nolan's wife has in Henry Street, with a jar of cream in his hand, taking it home to his better half. She's well nourished, I tell you. Plovers on toast." "And is he doing for the Freeman?" Davy Byrne said. Nosey Flynn pursed his lips. "He doesn't buy cream on the ads he picks up. He can make bacon of that." "How's..."
Oh, yeah, okay. So, when the sound of his boots had ceased, Davy Byrne said in the book, "What is this year's? Is it the insurance line?" So now they talk about Bloom, as we had it before. Somewhere. "It's in the insurance line. He's out of that long ago," Nosey Flynn said. "He does canvassing for the Freeman, that we know by now." "I know him well to see," Davy Byrne said. "Is he in trouble?" "Trouble? Not that I heard of why." I noticed he was in mourning. So you see, that nosy Flynn didn't realise that Bloom was wearing black. But David Byrne knows. Was he? So he was, Faith. I asked him how was all at home. You're right, by God. So he was. I never broached the subject, David Byrne said humanely. I see if a gentleman's in trouble that way. It only brings a depression to their minds. It's not the wife, anyhow. I met him the day before yesterday, and he, coming out of that Irish farm, dairy, John Wise Nolan's wife has in Henry Street, with a jar of cream in his hand, taking it home to his better half. She's well nourished, I tell you, plovers on toast. And is he doing for the Freeman? Bert said. Nosey Flynn pursed his lips. He doesn't buy cream on the art he picks up. You can make bacon of that. How so? David Byrne asked, coming from his book. So they talk about him, and nobody quite trusts him. He may do all kinds of things. I think that's why we stopped.
How so? David Byrne asked, coming from his book. Nosey Flynn made swift passes in the air with juggling fingers. He winked. He's in the craft, he said. Do you tell me so? David Byrne said. Very much so, Nosey Flynn said. Ancient, free, and accepted order. Light, life, and love, by God. They give him a leg up. I was told that by a well, I won't say who. Is that a fact? Oh, it's a fine order, Nosey Flynn said. They stick to you when you're down. I know a fella was trying to get into it, but they're as close as dammit. By God, they did right to keep the women out of it. Davy Byrne smiled, yawned, nodded, all in one. There was one woman, Nosey Flynn said, hid herself in a clock to find out what they do be doing. But be damned, but they smelt her out and swore her in on the spot, a master mason. That was one of the St. Ledgers of Donnerail. Davy Byrne, sated after his yawn, said with tear-washed eyes, And is that a fact? Decent, quiet man he is. I often saw him in here, and I never once saw him, you know, over the line. God almighty couldn't make him drunk, Nosey Flynn said firmly. Slips off when the fun gets too hot. Didn't you see him look at his watch? Ah, you weren't there. If you ask him to have a drink, the first thing he does, he outs with a watch to see what he ought to imbibe. Declare to God he does. There are some like that, Davy Byrne said. He's a safe man, I'd say. He's not too bad, Nosey Flynn said, snuffling it up. He's been known to put his hands out, too, to help a fella. Give the devil his due. Old Bloom has his good points, but there's one thing he'll never do.
Okay. How so, Davy asked, coming from his book. Nosey Flynn made swift passes in the air with juggling fingers, something like that. He winked. He's in the craft, meaning the Freemasons. Do you tell me so, Mr. Byrne said? Very much so, Nosey Flynn. Ancient, free, and accepted order, light, life, and love, by God. They give him a leg up. I was told by a, well, I won't say who. So Bloom may be a Freemason. Now, the Freemasons, as you know, is an organization several centuries old, that help each other, but you have, I don't quite know, whether, it's one thing I never figured out myself, is Bloom really a Freemason or not? Because as far as I know, and of course you can't ask them because they're not allowed to tell, whether ordinary people look down a little bit like here could really be, maybe you can't just knock on the door and say I want to join up.
Apparently the Freemasons are up in the Lindenhof in Zurich. They meet up in the Lindenhof, in that orange building in the Lindenhof. Apparently.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Banking. A lot of bankers are in the Freemasons.
Yeah, bankers, huh?
A lot of bankers. But mostly all men. I don't know if women go there. It's more all men at that one.
Good, glad you tell me. But no, it's usually upper classes with power. The head of the Freemasons is the Prince of Wales in England by ex officio. Good. Anyway, I don't know. So what? Why? One is, would Bloom, if it's rather low or is he despised a bit, looked down? Would he be accepted? And B, what makes me wonder is, as you know, Bloom is the outsider. You see how they talk about him. They don't quite trust him. He's alone. In church, he said, at least they're together. If you were a member, I would think that sometimes in his thoughts, you would hear, at least I am in one particular community and things like that. So for me, it's open, but you watch out for what's coming. Is that a fact? Oh, it's a fine order, and Roger Flynn said, they stick to you when you're down. I know a fellow was trying to get into it, but they're as close as damn. By God, they did right to keep the women out of it. And I think that was true up to, I don't know, but maybe they had to go along with the tide. I have no idea. But for a long time, that was a fact. Davy Byrne smiled, yawned, nodded all in once. He's not particularly interested in it. Yeah, and then it's the noise. There was one woman, as a friend said, did herself in a clock to find out what they do be doing. But be damned, but they smelt her out and swore her in on the spot as a master mason. That was one of St. Letters of Doneraine. And that is a story that is recorded. Whether it's true, I don't know, but there was such an event, that's on record. Davy Byrne, sated after his yawn, said with tear-washed eyes, and is that a fact? Decent, quiet man he is. I often saw him in here, and I never once saw him, you know, over the line. So that's another thing. Bloom doesn't drink to excess. He eats a gorgonzola sandwich. Bloom is also a man who does not usually do what he's supposed to do. He is in a church and doesn't believe. He goes to a funeral and is in mourning and things like that. He eats differently. God Almighty couldn't make him drunk, Nosy Flint said. Slips off when the fun gets too hot. That's true, of course, of Odysseus, too. Didn't you see him look at his watch? Oh, you weren't there. If you ask him to have a drink, first thing he does, he outs with the watch to see what he ought to imbibe. Declare to God, he does. There are some like that, Daisy Byrne said. He's a safe man, I'd say. He's not too bad, no difference, something like that. He has been known to put his head down and to help a fellow. If the devil is new, oh, Bloom has his good points. But there's one thing he'll never do. His hand scrawled a dry pen signature behind his scrawl. I know, he said, nothing in black and white. In other words, Bloom doesn't sign an IOU. He does not go into debt, that is. So he said, that's also an Irishman different from the others, as we heard in the carriage when they talked about the moneylender. Good, now more people come.
His hand scrawled a dry pen signature beside his grog. I know, Davy Byrne said. Nothing in black and white, Nosy Flynn said. Paddy Leonard and Bantam Lyons came in. Tom Rochford followed, a plaining hand on his claret waistcoat. Day, Mr. Byrne. Day, gentlemen. They paused at the counter. Who's standing? Paddy Leonard asked. I'm sitting anyhow, Nosy Flynn answered. Well, what'll it be? Paddy Leonard asked. I'll take a stone ginger, Bantam Lyon said. How much? Paddy Leonard cried. Since when, for God's sake? What's yours, Tom? How was the main drainage? Nosy Flynn asked, sipping. For answer, Tom Rochford pressed his hand to his breastbone and hiccuped. Would I trouble you for a glass of fresh water, Mr. Byrne, he said. Certainly, sir. Paddy Leonard eyed his ale-mates. Lord love a duck, he said. Look at what I'm standing drinks to. Cold water and ginger pop. Two fellas that would suck whiskey off a sore leg. He has some bloody horse up his sleeve for the gold cup. A dead snip. Zinfandel, is it? Nosy Flynn asked. Tom Rochford spilled powder from his twisted paper into the water set before him. That cursed dyspepsia, he said, before drinking. Brett's older is very good, Davy Byrne said. Tom Rochford nodded and drank. It's it, Fandel. Say nothing, Bantam Lyons winked. I'm going to plunge 5 bob on my own. Tell us if you're worth your salt and be damned to you, Paddy Aaron said. Who gave it to you?
Good, okay. Then Paddy Leonard and Bantam Lyons came in. Bantam Lyons we met in the 5th chapter at the end. Tom Rochford followed a plaining hand on his claret waistcoat. Claret is also, of course, a red wine. They, Mr. Bullen, they gentlemen, they paused at the counter. Who's standing? Who's standing a drink? Paddy Leonard asked. I'm sitting anyhow. Cheap kind of joke. I'm sitting, I'm standing. Well, what'll it be? Paddy Leonard asked. So he's standing the drinks. I'll take a stone ginger, Bantam Lyons said. How much? Since when, for God's sake? What's yours, Tom? How's the main drainage, nosy friend, or sipping? Main drainage is the system, the alimentary system. He seems to be a bit weak. For answer, Tom Rochford pressed his hand to his breastbone and hiccuped. Would I trouble you for a glass of fresh water, Mr. Byrne, he said. Certainly, sir. Paddy Leonard eyed his ailmate. Lord love a duck, he said. Look at what I'm standing drinks to. Cold water and ginger pop. Two fellows that would suck whiskey off a sore leg. He has some bloody horse up his sleeve for the gold cup. A dead snip. Zinfandel, is it, Noddy Flynn said? Zinfandel is another horse that's running in the gold cup, and it so happens, as I said, that it's also the name of a wine. Tom Rochford spilt powder from a twisted paper into the water set before him. That cursed dyspepsia, he said. So this is when your digestion is not good. So you have that kind of thing. So it's not okay. Brett soda is very good, Lady Byrne said. Tom Rochford nodded and drank. Is it Zinfandel? Say nothing, Bantam Lyons. I'm going to plunge 5 bulbs on my own. Tell us, if you're worth your salt and be damned to you, Fadden, who gave it to you? Mr. Bloom, on his way out, raised 3 fingers in greeting. So long, Noddy Flinger said. The others turned. That's the man now gave it to me, Bantam Lyon whispered. I mean, we don't know what to do with that at this point. Oh, Paddy Leonard just go, Mr. Byrne, sir, we take 2 of your small Jamesons and stone ginger, adventured Tivoli. I, Paddy, like a sucking bottle for the baby. They're surprised that somebody doesn't drink alcohol. And now, this is where Bloom leaves, and now for the rest of it, we see Bloom outside. And that's a good place to stop. The rest is again Bloom, and he has eaten now, yep. So, good appetite.
You too, bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tune in another summer.
Hi, Tanya. Bye. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See you next time.
Yeah.
Bye, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.